Welcome to Postcast tonight, David Locke, along with Ron Boone, after the Utah Jazz win their opening night game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, as we'd expect. No big mysteries here, no big surprises here, but we'll still break it down for you. It's all coming up next on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by The Store, located both down here, right by the Gateway and the Arena, as well as available for you out at 6200 South. And it's a mudslide cookie and a scholarship. Mm-hmm. That's the way we should think about wins. You get a mudslide cookie and you get a scholarship. So welcome. Chat room is open for you. I believe we're both on YouTube at Locked On Jazz, on Facebook at David Locke, and we may or may not be on Twitter. They're being a little funky right now, so I'm not sure whether we're, but thank you very much for joining us. And Ron Boom, what's your reaction to the Jazz opening night win?
Well, you're always pleased with a win. That's for sure. But I just look at a ball game like this. The Jazz should win it. They probably should win it in the way they want it, in big numbers. But I think, look at a ball game like this, just being an extension, I think, of preseason. Even though the rotations were more of what the Jazz want to use during the course of the year, it's still an extension, I think, of preseason and what they would like to see.
But really, the story to me is just the continuity of this team. Mm-hmm. You're plugging Hassan Whiteside into Derek Favors' spot. Right now, Eric Paschal's playing in George Niang's spot, which is going to be Rudy Gay's spot, and then they're trying to sneak Jared Butler some minutes. But otherwise, this is really the exact same team as we saw a year ago, just with more experience than they had at this point last year.
More experience, and you can see that how well they're working together now. Conley looks remarkable. I mean, he looks very much under control. He's never in a hurry to do anything, but he always gets the job done. And from what I see also, David, is that we're going to see, and we probably saw this quite a bit last year as well. Not the same two guys are going to be, or the same three guys are going to have the big nights. Jordan Clarkson, you can always count on him getting up his 16 shots a game, and he'll have big nights, and then some of the nights won't be as good. But for the most part, you're talking about Boyan, Conley, and Donovan Mitchell. But I just don't think you're going to see the same guys just because of the great shooting that the Jazz have.
You know, I think when you look at this one tonight, there are a bunch of flurries to talk about and some really great performances. But the number one thing to me, Ron, is that the calling card's back. The Thunder, who are not a good offensive team, last year they were 28th in the league offensively, I believe, or 28th in three-point shooting, 30th in the league in offense. So this was the worst offensive team in the league last year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure they're any better this year, but they never got above a point of possession. Their offensive rating at the end of the first quarter was a 98. In the second quarter is a 94, third quarter is an 89. I stopped charting after that because, frankly, but that's important. You know, that's how we win games, is just dominantly defend, and that's what the Jazz did. And Rudy was remarkable. We'll get into his flurry in a minute.
You're absolutely right, David. As much as we talk about the offense and what the Jazz do and the number of scores that they have, the number of great three-point shooters that they have, the signature of this team is definitely the defense.
So the defense was great. There were some flurries tonight. Rudy Gobert really came out dominant. He had a double-double by midway through the second quarter. He had 13 points and 13 rebounds at halftime. He had 21 rebounds on the night. And there was a great little sequence where he ran the floor, got a dunk, and then a finger roll layup. And we just saw Rudy trying to having a huge impact on the game. And clearly, on a night where Donovan had to deal with Lou Dort, which we'll talk about in a moment, Rudy was the best player on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. And defensively, especially in that first quarter, he just dominated the boards. He dominated the offensively, what did he end up in the first half? In the first, it looked like he had 13 points in the first quarter.
Points in the first quarter.
So getting him off to a good start in a game like this where he should dominate the center position, very important. You didn't want him to come out and have just a mediocre basketball game against the type of centers that they had playing.
And then the next part of it that was really something else was Jordan Clarkson came in and he just heated it up. He went flamethrower at a big-time level, 5 of 5 from the field, 15 points in the first half for Jordan Clarkson.
How great is it to have that luxury of being the most popular player on the floor? I mean, people love him. You know, they like this energy, the way he gets his shots off. And he knocked down a three-point shot, and after he came down to the floor, there was another leap after it goes in. I mean, he's just excited, I think, as the fans are, to see him make shots like that.
I haven't thought. I'm wondering him. He's a 34% career three-point shooter. He's a better shooter than that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if his shot selection might improve a tiny bit, and it might be he comes a 38, 39 percent three-point shooter. He takes so many late shot clock shots to bail guys out. He takes so many shots late in the quarter. Start to take those numbers out, I think it would go up. But I also just wonder whether or not this team will – he'll settle in a different manner this year and get himself better, more efficient looks.
Some of those shots are low-percentage shots that he's taken. So, and but he has that luxury because he's always hot. He knows he's going to – he thinks he's going to make every shot. So, but, you know, anytime you have a guy coming off the bench – that's going to get 26, 27 minutes of ball game, and he's going to get up 16 shots. You know, that's a luxury that a lot of players would like to have in this league.
It's Postcast. We bring it to you after each and every Jazz game this year. You can join us. We also are on before games on Instagram at DLock09 on Instagram. Feel free to follow us there. I believe we're coming in today on YouTube and Facebook. David Locke on Facebook, YouTube, live. And the chat room is open if you have any thoughts and questions or comments about the ball game, throw them into the chat room, and we'll jump to them right here. The big story of the entire camp has been whether or not guys, you know, has really been forcing guys to kind of guard their yard, to contain defensively. And the Jazz did some interesting things tonight. They did not match up. They matched up by position, not by personnel. Mike Conley guarded Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I'm certain last year that was Royce O'Neal's assignment. So there's this, hey, if you're going to be here, you're going to guard your yard. You're going to guard your guy. There's definitely a large responsibility that I thought we saw an increased effort against, you know, frankly, not a lot of very good number one-on-one players. So it's one thing. Gilgeous-Alexander is probably the one guy. We're going to see De'Aaron Fox. That's a different level coming up here. And he's given Mike Conley fits over his career because of his speed to size. So we're going to see different level guys coming up here in a little bit. But
Both lefties there as well.
Tonight, though, you know, they did it well against a team that does really lack one-on-one scores.
Yeah. Just enjoy watching the progress of this basketball team. And I think the expectations are very, very high with this team. And you can see why. I mean, this team can really beat you in a few different ways on the offensive end of the floor. But defense is definitely going to be the key for them.
Ron Lee wants to know, what should the Jazz learn most from this game?
Well, that's really hard to say. I'd like to, you know, talk to Quinn Snyder and see what – I hate to talk about and I was telling some people that what I think the Jazz should be doing and that type of thing. I like to talk about what they like to do, what they're trying to do out there on the floor. But what I see right now is basically the change that they're doing defensively, and that's supposedly the containment that I didn't see happen tonight. But I'd like to see and have someone go over that with me on their positioning out there on the floor and what they mean by containing and how they get out of it and how they get into it.
All you got to do is ask. You're Ron Boone.
Yeah,
they'll
I know
give
that.
It to you. Another question coming in here tonight or comment from T-Man on Zoom. Hassan Whiteside is very athletic, coming along okay so far. What do you think of Whiteside tonight?
Well, I think what we're going to see is he's going to give us some solid minutes if he plays – like he did tonight and like he did in the previous preseason game. I think Quinn's style of play can bring out the best of him if those minutes out there on the floor, those 18 minutes, what did he get tonight? And a lot of that's because of he got 18 minutes. And I think the most he's going to get in a ball game is going to be 20 if Rudy is not in foul trouble. So if those solid minutes, if he can give you those solid minutes, and again, if they're going to, if everything is forced to Rudy Gobert, that means they're going to be forced into Whiteside there as well. So he's got to protect the rim. So I think the jury's out. We'll have to wait and see if he can give the Jazz those solid 15, 18 minutes.
His first possession as a Jazz player, he had two block shots. Final one tonight was a big test for Donovan Mitchell. He had struggled in his career against Lou Dort, and he struggled really again tonight. I think he finished 4 of 12 when guarded by Dort. That's just as tough a matchup as you get. The Jazz did some really interesting things in the early part of the third quarter to free Donovan a little bit, but that was a tough night for Donovan. But it shows the depth and the – I mean, you take your leading scorer, who averages 26 a game, and they basically shut him down. He was not a major force, and the Jazz still rolled easily and did not struggle offensively.
Yeah.
That wraps us up on Postcast tonight. Thanks very much for tuning in. Glad to have you aboard. We'll be back with you after every game here on Postcast. You can get it live. Join us in the live stream in the live room. As well, it is also available as a podcast form. Have a great night. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks to the store for bringing you Postcast.